Happy Friday, Nashville. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday. And we are joined live in studio by Max Herz from Preds Radio. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Excited to have Max back on after I was out last week. So lots to get to on the program today. Max, how's it going? Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Jake. I'm just doing a little bit of studio maintenance.
Yes,
here.
You were doing getting the essentials up here in the studio. We got, of course, Pete and Terry inducted into the Golden Hall, so that has to be represented in our studio. Where else would it go?
Yeah, I got to get more of these posters actually, because I took what I thought was a big stack, and I've already given all of them out of Pete and Terry posters. So I think there are some more back at the arena, so I'll get them, and I'll see. Like, you just got to turn the light on in here, just because it's radio. Robbie and Joe just do their show in a cave.
See, but they get here early enough that I understand it. You don't want the bright lights in your face at 6 a.m.
No, I do. Otherwise, I'm going to fall asleep on the air.
They're used to it at this point, though. They are.
Joe is a caveman, literally and figuratively, and I love him for it.
Preds have lost three games in a row here, all at home, and two of them in overtime. We're able to get points earlier in the week, but last night a 3-1 loss to the Flyers. Max, you've been over there. What's been the issues for the Preds through these last three games? A couple of heartbreakers on Monday and Tuesday, especially that Tuesday game with Steven Stamkos tying it in the final seconds just to lose on what we'll call it a controversial call in overtime that allowed the Wild to score the game-winning goal.
They're playing well enough to win, and after the game yesterday, Michael McCarron put it as well as I possibly could, so I'm going to use his words. They don't have the killer instinct, a.k.a. they're not scoring when they have extended zone time, extended chances. They're getting looks, and I think this week they've gotten more grade-A scoring chances than they have all year, and they just aren't finishing enough to win.
You told me before we came in here that you were the one who went up to Eustace Onnen and asked him his perspective on the call from Wednesday night's game against the Wild, and Tuesday night's game. Excuse me, that was in St. Paul as well, not at home.
I also have no idea what day of the week it is. The fact that I'm on with you means it's Friday, right? So that centers me.
That's what allows me to know what day it is who is sitting next to me in studio. I was like, all right, yesterday TD was in, it's Thursday. Today Max is here, it's Friday.
Glad I could help.
But yes, especially with the travel, I have no idea what day it is. Tuesday night's game against the Wild, Eustace Onnen pushes off the post a little bit. The goal moves, puck comes across, gets deflected into the side of the net. Didn't look like it was going to cross the line inside the post, but the officials ruled that it was a good goal, ended up being the game winner. You talked to Onnen about his perspective on what happened on that play and what he believes should have been the right call in that situation.
Yeah, I think the neutral NHL world is on the Preds side here, from what I've surmised. And obviously, to me, Onnen is the protagonist in this, and
right.
I want to know what he thinks, and the goalie doesn't, I mean, unless somebody asks for the goalie doesn't usually speak to media after the game, and they were on the road, so Preds said zero media members there, other than Brooks, who
right.
works with the team, but yeah, Onnen hadn't spoken, and he was the backup goalie yesterday, so he was laid off a morning skate, but I waited as long as I could. They were nice enough to let me speak to him, so thank you for that, but he was impassioned about it, obviously. I don't know if he made it back to Nashville with as many sticks as he took to Minnesota after the way that game ended. And he was still hot about it. And the points he made were multifold. And the first thing was he considered that to be a normal push off of the post for him.
Right.
And more importantly than that, he said he made the right read on the play, knew the backdoor pass was coming, and was confident that he would have made the save. Well, first of all, he may not have had to make the save because
right.
Marcus Johansson missed the net. And the Predators' big argument on this that they were telling the refs was he scored on the second shot. He only got a second shot because the goal had rotated 45 degrees and the puck came right back to him. If you miss a shot off the side of the net, it's not coming right back to you.
Right.
Unless the net is completely off one of the moorings.
I didn't understand it at all, watching that replay over and over. And then I did see on social media, there was a cut up of other calls like this, of the goal gets knocked off the moorings and the puck crosses over the line in between the posts. And you can see pretty clearly on those plays, yeah, the puck would have scored, but somebody on defense, whether it's the goalie or a defenseman, knocked the goal off, and it made sense. That play on Tuesday night was not the same. I mean, it bounced off the side of the net, and you're right. It's like once the goal is off, it should be the immediate scoring chance after that you have to score on. If it bounces off the side of the net, that's no longer the immediate scoring chance. They should blow the whistle and call the play dead.
Yeah, so referee Trevor Hansen was the one who made the call. It was an immediate, emphatic goal call behind the net. And the sentiment of some of the Preds is that they didn't even get a ruling from Toronto because they never announced a review. They didn't use the microphone at any point in this. And they basically said, this is a judgment call. The ref who was there made the call. And apparently there may not even have been a review. So they get absolutely zero information from the league. Onanen got zero word from the refs. Apparently Steven Stamkos got a little bit, as speaking as the captain, the guy wearing the letter, since Roman Josi wasn't there and he was the one talking to the ref.
Right.
Onanen said they gave him absolutely nothing. Onanen was in the ref's face trying to have a conversation, probably a hot conversation, but you got to talk to these guys.
Right.
And the officiating has been absolutely awful. And when it's at its worst is two things that I think make the officiating bad happen on this play. One, judgment calls, which happens a lot on icing or no icing, and face-off violations,
right,
which I think this year have been the two most inconsistently officiated things in the Predators games. And two, when ego comes into it. These guys are human.
Yeah.
There are things that have happened in the past with different referees and different coaches and different players. And look, when the call comes that emphatically, he doesn't want to change the call. That's an ego thing.
Right.
Imagine if that game continues. What does it look like for that ref?
Right.
You know? So it's and teams that aren't playing well don't get calls either. It's part of it.
It's just one of those things where on that ruling, there has to be more that goes into that. You have to get a full review. You have to get somebody else's opinion on it. And
yeah,
it's tough for the Preds, who have had a lot of games like this year where it's like you're really close. And that was a game where maybe you feel like you stole a point with Stamkos scoring with, 0.3 seconds left on the clock. But you had a chance to get two. And later on in the year, that could be one of those games where you look back and say, man, if we had just gotten a point there, the Montreal game a few weeks ago where you give up a goal late in the third period, then give up a goal late in overtime as well. There's just been a couple of games for the Preds this year where one thing doesn't go their way and it ends up costing them either one point or possibly two.
Well, they've played 16 games. Four of them have been overtime losses.
Crazy.
I think all four of those are in that category.
Yeah.
So a couple more things that Onanen said to me that I want to make sure I say, since I have not said these things on the radio
yet.
First of all, the way he and I talked about the review, it actually reminded me of something UC Saros said to me either last year or 2 years ago. He says Saros said this, he loves watching the NHL on TNT, as we all do, because they do a very good job televising the games, unlike some other channels. Because he loves Henrik Lundqvist being on, because there's no voice of the goalie on hockey TV. And it's like,
good point.
Imagine if you were watching a World Series game with no pitcher. Like, it's even more extreme of that. And talking to Onanen, it's like, do you think there's an ex-goalie in the Situation Room in Toronto? Probably not. It's all ex-referees and just kind of these other guys who are there who watch replays, who are hockey guys. Most of them probably played. Did any of them play goalie? We have no idea. Definitely no former NHL goalies. And the point Onanen made was, first of all, it was already a little bit off. The post was already a little bit off.
Yeah.
But it had been a problem all game. The snow maintenance there was not up to his standard. And another thing that impacted this play, for overtime, you switch ends. That's the only time the goalies will switch ends without the Zamboni coming through.
Right.
Because you go to the long change second period end. So that had been Gustafsson's goal for the entire third period. Onanen said Gustafsson likes to keep his crease very snowy, which I think is not the norm. I think guys want their crease clear.
Yeah.
And that impacted the whole deal because that rattles the post. If they didn't come out there with the turkey baster to squirt in the net hole,
yeah,
that impacts it. And the Preds also had the puck. the final 5 minutes of the game, there were 11 skaters and a goalie down there.
Yeah.
There was a lot of snow going on. So, like, it was all conditions of the game that had an impact on it. I think if Onanen had said something going into overtime, you can call the ice crew going out and have them come back. But he didn't say anything about if he had noticed anything in advance. But the post was clearly a little bit off already. And the one other thing he brought up that was very interesting to me, probably the goal of the week in the NHL, was also on that night in the Oilers-Stars game in Dallas. Leon Draisaitl hit a one-timer right on the goal line on the power play. Crazy angle. Went short side shelf. Casey DeSmith, Stars backup, just did not have a prayer. Beautiful goal. Perfect shot. Great player. Onanen said, bringing that goal up unprovoked, if that goal is going to happen regularly in the NHL, every single NHL goalie needs to be able to know that in every arena, they can put their full body weight into the post when they lean on the post to make a save. Otherwise, no one's ever going to stop that shot. Or, like, if that's the shot and the same thing happens to Onanen, obviously different play, but if he leans into the post and knocks the goal off on that shot, is that an awarded goal?
Right.
Because it was going in. It wasn't a backdoor tap in to win an overtime game. It was a tough angle shot for a power play goal in regulation. But it was much more of the initial shot was going in. Johansson's shot wasn't going in.
Yeah.
So is that an awarded goal if Casey DeSmith leans on his post and knocks the goal off there?
Well, and that's my question is, where is the line? Like, how many chances do you
There's
have?
There's no line. Absolutely no line.
Like, once the goal comes off, can you just sit there and keep poking it across the line until they finally award you a goal?
Onanen also stopped playing.
Right.
And the net came off.
There has to be some sort of delineation of,
because his save path changed.
Right.
He's not going to flop in front because he shouldn't have had to flop in front. So
it was it's a call that I don't think anyone agrees with except for those in the land of 10,000 lakes up there. Like, it makes absolutely no sense, and it's one we may be talking about for a while. Ends up being an overtime loss for the Preds. Again, we're able to steal the point with Steven Stamkos scoring with less than a second on the clock, but it doesn't make you feel much better when you felt like you could have gotten 2 points if they had not allowed that goal.
Well, the other thing is, it was their second overtime game in as many nights, and it was very clear the Preds were playing for a shootout.
Right.
And then this happens.
Yep.
You cannot win. They've had so many things go against them that are really out of their control or just oddities. And it sucks because it hurts morale on a team where they are doing things better the last couple weeks. And it's baby steps, and it hasn't led to a ton of wins. But, like, they are playing better. So, it's steps forward and then steps back that you have no control over, which I'm sure is maddening for them.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have any Preds questions for Max, get those in. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can text or call. We have plenty to get to with Max. He's with us for the full first hour of the show. We'll talk about the changes to the power play groups. Ryan O'Reilly had some interesting comments after the game yesterday. Also, we'll look at the injury front with Roman Josi and Cole Smith out for an extended period of time. Jake Lyman, Max Hurst, Parker Kelly off and running on this Friday here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.
Oh, wow. Going Justin Bieber to start things off here, Parker.
Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, joined by Max Hurst from Preds Radio in studio for the full first hour. Talking Preds. If you have questions for Max, you can text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Max, want to talk about Ryan O'Reilly's comments after last night's game. Clearly not happy with himself. The example of being his own biggest critic. Said he's only had one good year in the league. He can't score. Clearly was not happy with his performance.
I believe his exact words are, "I'm pathetic. I am the first line center and I cannot even make a 6 foot pass. I've only had one good year in my career."
I saw that. I think I saw Robbie tweeted that out last night, and I was just laughing to myself watching that. I mean, these guys have really high standards for themselves. Ryan O'Reilly has obviously been a very good player during his NHL career, but that's the type of guy who, when he does have a bad game or a bad stretch, he's going to be honest about it and try and get better. They do need more from him on that top line.
Ryan O'Reilly is not the problem with the
Preds.
No,
he is not. No.
I just feel like I need to say that. He is always going to absorb blame and deflect praise, and he's done that since the moment he got here. He's done that his entire career, and it's interesting to think about his career because he's basically he's been at the top, and then he has been on some really bad teams. He was on the Sabres for 4 years. Last year was really tough. He takes all of this very, very, very personally. But if I were to make a list of the Nashville Predators skaters and who was most and least responsible for the struggles of last season and the first part of this season, Ryan O'Reilly would be last on that list. Without a doubt.
I would agree with that. I think I think Ryan O'Reilly, if you're looking for somebody who has been a large part of the problem over the last 2 years, he would definitely be lower on that list, like you said. So, great to have high standards for yourself, and clearly he was not happy with the way he's played lately.
I need to go back and figure out – actually, you know what? I just remembered it on the air. I know what pass he's talking about with the I can't make a 6-foot pass. And I obviously don't know the system design of whose fault this was in the play. I actually thought it was the recipient's fault, which was Evangelista in this instance. It was a 2-on-1 that kind of came out of nowhere down low, and O'Reilly thought Evangelista would pop lower, and he stayed flat a little bit higher. And I think it probably would have been a goal either way if Evangelista had gotten the puck and shot, which
yeah.
Evangelista has passed up some really good shots in the last couple weeks. So I think everybody needs to shoot more. But that was the pass. I was about to say I wish I knew what the pass was, and then I...
it popped into your head.
Yeah.
The Predators trying to make some changes on the power play units to make that a more effective group. A very slow start to the season for the man advantage. What have you seen from that group as they've tried to split up those groups and at least try and find some more production there?
Yeah, long overdue, first of all, to split up the big four forwards. It's not working. It didn't work last year. It's not working this year. And they basically went with the even strength lines, gave both lines a fourth forward for a special skill, and then gave them a quarterback defenseman. So the O'Reilly line, which is, I should say the Forsberg line, from a power play perspective, it's
right.
Phil. Forsberg, O'Reilly, Evangelista, they get Eric Halla, who's a center, and then Brady Shea. And then the Stamkos line, Stamkos, Marchessault, and... Well, even strength, they've had Halla, so it's not really their line. But it's Stamkos, Marchessault, Matt Wood, who's been great,
yeah.
And then Michael Bunting, who's their net front guy, is his special skill, and then Nick Blankenberg, who I think is the best power play quarterback on the team, and we continue to see that the last couple weeks as he gets back in there. I think it's been a little bit better. Rhythm and flow is what Andrew Brunetta said that he's seen more from it, and I agree with that. There are just still times where they cannot get into the zone at all. I think it does create some internal competition because you don't know which unit's going first. It does have to do sometimes with who drew the penalty and who's fresh, but a lot of it is competition. Who's going? You got to earn your power play time. And there was an entire power play yesterday when Forsberg's unit started it, and Jonathan Marchessault is standing near the bench the entire time, and you can tell he's not happy. Well, if you'd like to play on the power play, please shoot and score. Like, that's to me is the upside of this.
Yeah,
is you are forcing your guys to earn their cookies.
Right. You don't have a top unit. You don't have a second unit. It's just whichever unit you feel has the best chance to go out and play.
Yeah, and if they're bad, put McCarron and Weisblatt out there.
Like, yeah.
If nobody's going, make McCarron your net front guy. You know he's going to win a faceoff. You know Weisblatt is going to hound pucks, and he's got a shot too. So there are options. But Andrew Brunetta has been loyal to his top guys because you're not going to win in the NHL without your top guys scoring. But it's frustrating that this even had to happen. So, that's the thinking.
You mentioned Matt Wood. He's gotten off to a strong start since he was returned from injury. What have you seen from him as he's emerged as a threat for this team in his rookie season?
He's been amazing. And it's early. It's so, so early. He turns 21 the day the Olympic break starts.
Crazy.
And that's still 3 months away. But I think there's a chance that he never plays anywhere other than the NHL the rest of his career. Obviously, it's a long way to go. He's 20 years old. But Matt Wood looks so comfortable in the NHL, and he is far from perfect, obviously. He's a prospect, but his ceiling, every time we see him go out there, gets a little bit higher. And it's been great to see. I mean, this looks like a huge win in the draft process for the Preds.
And yeah.
They haven't even had too much hands-on development with him. It's just been a player who is self-developed. He's the son of a coach. His dad was a Division I women's college hockey coach for a long time and runs a private coaching clinic now in Vancouver. And Wood's hockey IQ has led him to a lot of success in the now, how many games he played? 10? 9 so far this year. He had his first 3 NHL goals in a 4-game, 6-day span. And every goal brought something different. So I've been really, really impressed with Wood. The play that really stood out to me was the goal Tuesday night in Minnesota. He'd been out there for a power play. He'd been on the ice for a minute and a half, and he was tired, and he was going off. And he thought to look back at the puck. He was leaving the offensive zone, going to the bench, which was close by in the second period, so it was a short change. But he knew what was going on with the play. He saw that Tyson Jost kept the puck in at the blue line on a play where I didn't think the Preds were going to be able to keep it alive in the zone. And Wood made sure to look for it. And the moment that happened, he stopped and just stood on the doorstep. Jost got the puck to McCarron, and because Wood didn't bail, it was a 2-on-0. And McCarron made an amazing play to get him the puck, tap in for Wood, he nailed it. So it's hockey IQ combined with his physical skill.
Yeah.
That is leading him to his early success.
Yeah, and you could see it from his first game of the year. He came in and immediately made an impact. He has been great in his first 9 games of the season. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey is on the line wanting to chime in. Trey, thanks for calling. What you got for us this morning?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Max.
Hello.
Hey, I wanted to say that you remember when the GM that retired from the Predators, what's his name, Mr. Polian?
David Poile, not Bill Polian.
David Poile. Well, you remember he got inducted into the USA Hockey Hall of Fame in Nashville?
Oh, yeah.
I Ubered him home to Bell Mead the next morning, bro.
Wow.
And it was the most exciting thing probably in my life. And he's the sweetest old man that you would ever want to me and the Predators. If the Predators need to get it right, especially for him, because he put a lot into the Predators, and he's a sweet old man. And I just want to say that's my Predators moment. And Max, you do a good job, buddy.
Thank you, Trey. Did David give you 5 stars?
He gave me 5 stars, and he also, my GPS was trying to tell me where to go, but he was telling me where to go, and I was like, yeah. He's definitely the GM of the Predators because he has that charisma. And another thing, they make deals on the telephone, dude. Everything is done by telephone. All the GMs love each other. It's a club, and they talk to each other and all of that. So that's all I want to say, but y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Trey.
5 stars,
Trey. That's a great story. Ubered David Poile home after he was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Do we think David was out all night if he drove him back
maybe
in the morning?
Yeah, he was.
David is probably listening right now, actually, if he's here. He's been in Nashville a lot this season.
That's so funny. Trey, a consistent caller into the program.
Hey, so much for come be a professional athlete in Nashville. Nobody will ever talk to you in public or
right.
talk about what you're doing.
That's true.
David Poile, you were on notice.
Yeah, that is
retired
true.
GMs are being outed.
I know. Trey is just putting him on blast
out.
For staying up all night after being inducted into the Hall of Fame. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have questions for Max or other stories about current or former Predators, in getting into your car, we'll take all of them. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get to some of your questions on the text line coming up. Also talk about some of the injuries that have hit the Predators over the last couple of weeks. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 the game.
Thank you.
Next man up, 1025 the game.
Max.
Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly. Yeah, Max specifically requested some older Nick Disney songs on these Friday shows, so there you go.
This is so good, Drake and Josh.
That's what
a great program.
Me and Connor Newt were called that by somebody on the text line. Nevada Josh said that a couple of months ago.
Are you Josh?
I guess I would be Drake because it rhymes with Jake. That's like, and so that makes Connor Josh.
I
just
mean, like,
by default.
I guess. I mean, you're the lead dog, so you're Drake. I guess Connor's the funny one then.
Yeah.
I don't know. Josh,
sure.
Josh Peck has really slimmed down.
He has. He has. Looks like an almost completely different person.
That show had two, like, iconic, like, never-dying lines, like, Borat level, never-dying.
Yeah.
The hug me brother
is
number one. And then, are you calling me a liar? I ain't calling you a truther.
Yeah. No, there's,
I still use that one.
There are... you know, they're kids' shows. They're meant for, like, your tweens, but they do hold up still.
Well, that was a great show, too, because it was, like, the whole show was about, like, divorce and, like, family situations.
Right.
Like,
right.
Two divorced families or blended families that became one. So, yeah, it was very progressive. So
yes.
Great
yes.
program.
Always good to go back and watch some Drake and Josh. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your questions on the Preds for Max, who's with us for a little under half an hour here to wrap up his time on the show. Let's talk injuries, Max. Obviously, the biggest one, Roman Josi, is out for a little while, was just placed on injured reserve. It's been tough for him the last couple of years. You know, the injuries, the POTS diagnosis, but the report is that this doesn't have anything to do with his POTS diagnosis, this injury, and you hope to eventually get him back soon. But how do the Predators, you know, tread water and continue to go along without their captain on the ice?
Yeah, so the team told us that it's not POTS or concussion related, and I can confirm that. Not that the team needs confirmation, but... it's probably still going to be a couple weeks, Barry Trotz said in his interview here on Tuesday. And Josi was spotted by Canadian TV cameras skating before the game against the Flames on Saturday.
Good.
And that was on Hockey Night in Canada. So it's good that he's moving. He may be skating without the team frequently. We aren't usually in the arena when those sessions happen just because they're not. First of all, there has been no practice time with how much the Preds
right,
have been
playing every day.
It's not usually in line with practice time. It's sometimes at a different venue, at Centennial, or at different times of the day. So they really, really miss him. And I still think Josi and Haig has potential to be the top pair, especially because by the time Josi gets back, I think Haig will really be hitting his stride. He's been solid. He's done the little things well that you can show up and do with his size, with boxing out and being physical and being a policeman out there on the ice and protecting guys, which has been really, really valuable. And I was thinking about this last night because after the postgame show, I was driving home. I was listening to the Golden Knights game and Jeremy Lauzon took a dumb penalty. And I love Jeremy, but he took some dumb penalties. Nick Haig has taken... I think one penalty that I can think of, and it was a call that he thought was pretty soft. That was earlier this week. That was against the Canucks on Monday. And the big thing he does that Lauzon did not was he's a peacemaker, and he stops the BS from the other team. He gets right in there, and it's over.
It's a big man.
Lauzon was a great fighter, and he laid huge hits, but he wasn't an enforcer in that way, per se. So I think Haig and Josi will be great together because Haig really stays home, which is good. Like, and Nick Perbix has shown this to us this year. Not every defenseman needs to join the rush in the NHL. Like, they all kind of want to. They don't all have to.
Yeah.
Especially when your partner is Roman Josi. It actually should never be you joining the rush unless you have a breakaway.
Yeah.
I know that's not really how the modern systems work, but that's how I feel.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you're going to cede way to somebody, it should be Roman Josi and let him join the break instead of you. Cole Smith also out 3 to 6 weeks with an upper body injury. On that fourth line, had gotten off to a strong start, but going to be missing him for about a month here.
The way I think about Smith's injury is... every single aspect of play that the Predators have been good at this season, Cole Smith is a part of.
Yeah.
All the things that they've struggled with, Cole Smith is not a part of. So Cole Smith is a valuable player, and we've seen that because the penalty kill has been worse without him.
It's a good point, and hopefully both those guys back within the near future, but looks like it's going to be at least a few more weeks for both of them.
One other interesting thing I wanted to bring up that is a response to the Cole Smith injury is they have been using Nick Blankenberg on the penalty kill as a forward.
Yeah.
So they've been killing with 3D and one forward. And they have other guys who can kill. Kimmel was killing. LaRue would kill, I think, if he were playing. He's been a healthy scratch since he got called up.
Yeah.
But Blankenberg as a PK forward does work there. But it's interesting, and it's coaching going on. So I always like it's tough in hockey sometimes to see where and how the coaching happens. So when a decision is made that works out and is outside of the box, I always like to make sure that that gets highlighted with ice time and roster decisions.
Right, right. Interesting move there on the penalty kill from the Preds. Want to get to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joey from Bellevue. I completely forgot to write this down, but I'm glad he texted in. Max, what has the vibe been in the locker room with the SNL skit that happened this past week? Have you seen the guys get a nice chuckle out of the Miles Teller SNL skit about the Predators?
I'm sure they all watched it. I have not heard anybody say anything about it, but the Tennessean wrote an article about it this week, and the Preds have taken it in good humor, as you would expect them
right,
to,
yeah.
in the same way that when they sent the season ticket holder email out 10, 15 years ago, whenever it was, that said Preds instead of Preds. And then they sent out an email where every time the team was mentioned, it was Preds instead of Preds. So
yeah.
If you haven't noticed, we have a sense of humor about ourselves here in Smashville. And Sean Henry said that they did send a box of Preds in the Community t-shirts to, he said, to 30 Rock. Rock.
That's great.
And I was like, to Liz Lemon and Jack Donaghy? And I was like, oh, wait, this is an actual place. But yeah, hopefully they'll be wearing them. I did my SNL claim to fame is I did do a group project with the youngest of Lorne Michaels' many children at Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. I obviously didn't stay up for SNL on Saturday night. I believe that started at 6 a.m. Paris time, but I did see it.
You could have made it in the morning.
I could have maybe woken up and had it with and watched it with my breakfast, but I did see that, and it was funny. I was talking to somebody on the Vandy staff. They hadn't seen the Preds in the Community t-shirts and the whole jokes about that, and we had been talking about it 2 days before, and then they do the Miles Teller skit. So I thought it was funny, and I'm glad the Preds, I mean, you got to take it in good fun.
I just have like, oh, yeah, obviously, but I you got to take it. I agree with you, but like, Miles Teller could walk up to me and say, hi, my name is Miles. I'd be like, okay, you're a person. I don't know who you are. I'm
seen
so
some of his
bad
movies?
With actors.
Yeah.
Nope. I'm maybe.
I'm sure you have, yeah.
Is he Spider-Man?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's Tom Holland. What is Miles Teller in? He was in Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, well, I got in trouble for that for celebrity birthdays for not knowing the main guy from that.
Oh, got well... I guess he would be the main guy alongside Tom Cruise.
There was someone else.
Maybe it was Miles Teller. Glenn Powell.
Glenn Powell.
Yeah.
I guess that he was 63 and he was 37 or 38.
Yes. Yeah. He's Chad Powers in the new show.
I'm going to pass on Chad Powers.
It's not as bad.
It's a show?
I thought
it was a movie.
No, okay. That's it's the Eli Manning movie or TV show on Hulu. It's not as bad as you would expect it to be. It's not good, but it's not as bad as you'd expect.
Why would I watch something that you're telling me is not good?
It's like entertaining, but it's not like it's going to win any Emmys.
I don't need Emmys. I don't know. I watch a lot of sports, and I like comedies, and
yeah, I think you'd enjoy it. I think you'd enjoy it.
No, I actually don't think so. You just told me it was bad, so.
I watched the first episode the other night. It was not what I was expecting.
It's, you know, if you go into it knowing what it's going to be a kind of corny TV show about a guy pretending to be Chad Powers and go play quarterback.
But that for me is what I watched Letterkenny and Shoresy for.
There
for
you
hockey.
Go. I guess that's true.
But those shows are like, I don't know, I guess they're just as stupid. But
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen those, but I've heard that those are funny, too. So.
Yeah. Well, and to show how little I know about actors, like, I've watched all of those shows, and I met two of the guys at one of the games last year. I literally said to them, I feel bad that I don't know your names. My name's Max. Like, I'm one of the Preds announcers. And one of them used to play for the Preds.
Oh.
Jonathan Diaby.
Wow.
Who's the guy who only speaks French. He was a Preds draft pick. He was in the same draft class as UC Saros and Colton Sissons and played in Milwaukee with them and never played in the NHL. But they use his real name in the show.
Wow.
But he goes by Dolo. They only call him Dolo, which is his rap name. But everything about the character, the name, the backstory, are all the real guy.
Oh, okay.
Which they like don't make clear.
That's so funny.
That he's a real person.
That he's just a real person playing himself.
But he only speaks French in the show. It's just, yeah, it's so ridiculous.
I got to check that show out. I've heard very good things from people.
It's really stupid.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We got one more segment with Max. We're going to get ready for the Preds' trip to Sweden coming up next. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly. Last segment with Max talking Preds. We have gotten a lot of texts. Dylan says he loves the Drake and Josh comeback there, so well done, Parker. Nice. He said make that our return every single time.
Every single time,
I don't know if we can do
monotonous.
That, but maybe once a week we can get it through. And then lots of Letterkenny fans on the text line as well.
Yes.
So, you know, I might
everyone
have to check
text,
it out.
Everyone text in your favorite Letterkenny or Shorzy quote.
6802 says pitter patter.
Pitter patter, let's go.
Dustin from Hopkinsville says Letterkenny, best show ever. Nick's slang is so funny. My grandfather is from Canada, makes me feel closer to him. So
it's just crazy how accurate it is. Like, especially talking to Brady Martin, who is basically from Letterkenny.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
I think I have seen at least one episode of it, but I'll go back. I'll start
great.
Watching it. Maybe next week I'll give you a review of my
it's
impressions
also, like,
of Letterkenny.
Not the type of show where I could be like, this is the best episode to watch. Like, it just kind of goes. I don't have a good answer. They're also doing, for fans of the show, they're doing a podcast. Michelle Milet, who is the female lead who plays, why am I blanking on the name? Miss Katie's. Katie's. It's her and one of the goth guys. Evan Stern is the actor's name, and Rold is the character's name. And people who haven't watched the show are like, what is happening here?
You know Evan Stern, but you don't know Glenn Powell.
I know what I know. Yeah, they're doing a podcast where they like go back through all the episodes and like tell funny behind the scenes stories from
it.
And I listened to like two of they've done like they do one for every episode, which is insane.
That is crazy.
But I listened to a couple of them and they're really good. So if you're a fan, I very much enjoyed it.
All right, I'll have to check it out. Let's go to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin from Hopkinsville said he was going to call in later. Later is now. Dustin, thanks for calling. What you got?
What's up, guys? Happy Friday. Letterkenny is awesome. Not to get into too much detail because we're on public radio here, but the best scene for me was when they're tossing the baseball around and what the guy says. They stop tossing the ball to him, so y'all look that one up. He knows exactly what I'm talking about.
There's just no way to like explain any of the funny scenes in it in a clean way.
No. Yeah, just in places men shouldn't be touched. You get the theory. Anyway, hey, so I met Mike Fisher one time. Trey was talking about people he met in Hopkinsville at Arabicero. It's a Mexican restaurant. There's a chain of them from Central City, Kentucky to Clarksville, Tennessee. But this was my wife and my first date. And let's just say it's a wonder we're still together because she was chopped liver. We walk in and we go to set at a booth. And I sat directly behind Mike Fisher. I seen him. I was like, that dude looks familiar. He just looks like a dude. He's big, and he just looks like that naturally huge built dude. And he's got this black and white hat on, and I noticed it said catching deer. And I'm sitting there, and I got my back to Mike, and I'm making sure it's him. I was like, oh, my gosh, this dude's got a Canadian accent. Oh, my gosh, that's Mike. And my wife keeps talking to me. I'm like, well, dating her at the time. I'm like, forget what you got to say. Do you hear this Canadian accent? This is Mike right here. All right. He gets up, and I'm like, Mike. And he looks over. I was like, what's up, man? I was like, dude. I was like, I don't want to bust you out in here, but can I get a picture of you? He said, no, let's do it right here. All right. Fast forward. Now my buddy works for him on his farm in Crossing, Kentucky. And let's just say that him and Carrie don't have the same views on killing deers. But it's kind of crazy. Another big thing, my grandfather played hockey with Tim Horton at St. Mike's in Canada. He's Canadian. He's 96 now. Dude was skating like freaking 35-year-olds at 72 years old. But that's pretty cool. So he got injured. He was being looked at by the Toronto Maple Leafs, but he got an injury, and that didn't work out. But, yeah, I just wanted to share my story, man. I can't believe me and my wife are still together because I don't fangirl very often, but it's Mike Fisher. He's just a dude's dude, you know.
Thanks for the call, Dustin. I wonder if Carrie was there with Mike. But
no, because I wouldn't even have noticed Mike. Those legs. All right, I'll get off here before I say something wrong.
Appreciate you calling in, Dustin. Quickly, before we have to let Max go, Preds are heading to Sweden next week. Obviously, a cool experience. Get out there and play two games against the Penguins and you know, a couple of games that could send the Preds in a good direction as they head overseas to Europe.
Yeah, and it's good team time together with how much they've been going at it, too. So I think that the players are really looking forward to that. Tomorrow is the Global Series Sweden send-off game. It's the final home game before the Preds go to Sweden. So it is Philip Forsberg bobblehead bobble mustache day, and we got to see them at the game last night.
That sounds amazing.
It is a normal bobblehead, but the mustache is also on a spring. So it takes a lot of maintenance to get the bobbling going right, but you should have to work hard for your bobblehead, I believe. And it has the Swedish flag as the base. So there'll be a lot going on. I believe there will be Swedish meatballs available.
Love it.
The Plaza Party will have Swedish flags all over it. They're already out there. I don't know how Pekka feels about his statue being draped in Swedish flags, but they are out there. So, yeah, it should be fun. Preds and Stars. Preds need a win. Stars are pretty good. So should be a good game tomorrow afternoon. Then they go to New York. They will play the Rangers on Monday night at Madison Square Garden. And straight away from there, go to Stockholm. So the games are a week from today, next Friday at 1 in the afternoon. That is 8 o'clock at night in Stockholm. And then next Sunday, two Sundays from now, at 8 a.m. Nashville time. That is 1 in the afternoon in Stockholm.
8 a.m. hockey.
Pre-game show at 7 a.m.
We love it.
And then the Titans are home right after, so I think I'm probably just going to go to what might be my only Titans game of the year.
There you go.
It lines up perfect.
It works out perfectly. And next Friday, instead of having Max on from 9 to 10, he's going to be with us from 11 to 12 to lead right into Predators pregame coverage. So excited for that. Max, always appreciate you coming in. Hope the Preds can get a couple of wins before heading across the Atlantic.
Yeah, thanks, Jake. Thanks for letting me rearrange everything in here and talk about whatever I want.
Max Herz, it's the best hour in radio from 9 to 10 on Friday.
You don't have to
appreciate
say that.
Max coming in. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into some football on the other side to start hour number 2. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.